You obviously, I know you don't like making these moves, but when you do have to release players, what do you say to them? I mean, you know, especially a guy like Matt Blanchard, who looked like he had a pretty good camp, but obviously the numbers didn't.
Right. Well, we talked to all the players, and none of them more than others. Their coaches do a great job of explaining things about how they felt things went, and sometimes the players would like tips on maybe what they need to improve on or work on and things like that. But it's a no win situation. It's a bad time.
Were you just kind of caught in a numbers crunch to have two guys practice before getting cut yesterday?
No, we were still making decisions.
The cut to 75, would you prefer just to go all the way to 53, or is there a benefit in that first round going down?
Right. It's above my pay grade, but I think I've been fairly open and honest saying that I'm not a big fan of the 75 cut. I think that's antiquated. I think that was useful 15 years ago, maybe. I think it'd be more useful for the teams to be able to decide how they want to play the last game rather than having to do it, you know, based on numbers.
Why was it useful?
Say again?
Why was it useful 15 or however many years ago, you said?
Well, I think, you know, I don't know. Maybe it wasn't. I'm assuming there was a reason. I'm sorry. I'm mouthing off, and I probably shouldn't be. You know, it's just this is a tough time, and I'm not a fan of it.
Ted, in your experience, how often have you seen a guy that maybe in your mind you knew wasn't going to make your 53, and then in this last game plays lights out and forces his way onto the roster?
We've seen it, and I'm sure it's at least on some surface it happens every year. There have been dramatic times when it's happened. I think I've discussed this, Desmond Howard. At this time, the Super Bowl year, when Ron was doing his press conference, he wasn't on our team. And then we played in the last game, and I think he ran two punts back and maybe a kickoff back for a touchdown or something, and all of a sudden he was on our team. It wasn't during the camp. He'd been injured the whole time, so he hadn't been able to go. It wasn't that he just became a good player all of a sudden. It was, you know, he showed us what he could do.
So how do you evaluate a guy like Jared Amadaris, who hasn't played a lot of football for you?
Yeah, you take it all in, you know. You take in his history and that sort of thing. We'll see.
You know, along those lines, do you have to be guarding, you know, in case somebody has a big game, do you have to be guarded that you don't put too much weight on one thing or instead of the whole 3 months?
Oh, I think we're guarded enough. I say that in a mean-spirited way, kind of. You know, we just went through a 75 cut, so we're pretty jaded right now. But I suppose you could. But you know, talent is talent, and when someone shows us something that's remarkable in that regard, I think even if it's in the last preseason game, I think we should pay attention to it, and we do.
When it pertains to a player making the roster, forcing his way onto the roster in that final preseason game, is it usually the guys that have missed time because of injury as far as instead of guys who have just underperformed?
I don't, you know what, I think it's happened both ways. Certainly, you know, the injury thing is viable, it happened with Desmond. But there are other people that, you know, just didn't get the right time, the right spot in history, and they do in the final game, you know. There's a lot of people going to play a lot more than they've been playing.
Ted, Mike talks about chemistry a lot. I know that's really important to you with the guys you bring in to even try and make the roster. When you're doing your final evaluations, do you lean more heavily on what the coaches say in that regard in terms of the locker room and chemistry, or is that something you observe yourself?
Well, I think I try to do my own work. You know, certainly what other people say and what coaches contribute to the discussion is taken into account, but I do, and our staff does their own work. So we try to get to know these guys as people.
Do you spend a lot of time, I mean, we don't see you in there, but do you spend a lot of time in the locker room, maybe just observing or talking to guys to get that feel as well?
I spend enough time around the players that I feel like I can get some understanding of the person. You never really know if you know someone, but I know them well enough to know that it hurts to tell them they have to go.
Ted, did you happen to have that one, when you were a player, when you were trying to make the Oilers roster, did you happen to have that one big moment in a preseason game, or that one big preseason game that caught Bum's attention?
I don't know. I was Mr. Gung-Ho. I was Gung-Ho. I was I volunteered for everything, and it was probably a pain in the tail to some people, but I don't know that I did. I played as hard as I could, and I felt like if we missed practice because of a thunderstorm, that it was against me, that it was hurting my chances of making the team. I was that kind of psycho. But when we were coming back from Chicago, we played Chicago. It was our sixth preseason game, and we were coming back to Houston, and Ed Biles, our defensive coordinator, came by the row that we were sitting on, me and my friend, and told me that, or he asked me, he goes, have you got an apartment yet? And I said, no, and he goes, well, you need to get one. And that's how and he kept walking down the aisle, and then I looked at my buddy, who's a tight end, that he was listening to us, and I said, does that mean what, you know, I think it means, and we both agreed. It was a good sign.
Two more?
I know a lot of the players that we talk to, they talk about, you know, the anxiety that goes along with cutdown day, and I know you got through a lot of them in your time. What were those days like for you, and what was the toughest part, you know, of kind of waiting out to see if you're going to be back on the team?
The waiting, you know. Most years, even though I went through the story about the first year, most years I was pretty sure I was making the team, and it would have been a surprise if I didn't. And lo and behold, it was a shock that I didn't make it when they did finally cut me. But so it wasn't, I wasn't that anxious about it most of the time. But yeah, you don't know for sure, you know, what a coach or a personnel guy might think. C.L. Bricotta, who passed away this week, longtime scout of the Houston Oilers and Tennessee Titans. He used to kid me on the practice field about how he rejected me as a player. And he said it in a joking manner, but I think he meant it, which kind of hurt my feelings. But God rest his soul. C.L. Bricotta.
Would you let the guys know Friday, and then just save it till you have to hit the transaction wire on Saturday, or
it goes both ways. Yeah.
Watch preseason games. There's some stuff's disjointed, just because of the moving parts. But when you see, you know, you had some special teams penalties and issues the other day. Do you chalk that up to just it's preseason, or do you worry about when you see, you know, 12 men on the field, 10 men on the field, things like that?
Well, you'd rather it not happen. I'm down on the sideline much of the time, and I have been this year. So it's special teams during the preseason is chaos, because you're not managing a group of 13 for 11. You're managing a group of 28 for 11. So that's no easy task. But we'd rather not happen.
How are you objective, or how do you get yourself objective when you're looking at your roster versus what's available after the cuts, and you're trying to decide whether, you know, at the end of the roster, whether there's a guy there? You obviously have some emotional connection to the guys that you've had in camp. Is it hard to be objective and say, well, maybe this guy is better than what we have?
No, we make sure that we acknowledge what we know and what we don't know about these people. Some of these people, we were involved in their draft process, and we got to where we knew these people and that sort of thing, the ones that become available from other teams. So I think you acknowledge what you know and you acknowledge what you don't know. There are some people that maybe we didn't have and didn't do a lot of study on, and so we don't know much about them. So I think just like in the draft, when that happens, you have to stand up and say, we don't know that.